I just want to share very briefly with you about letting go. I almost played like the video and everything. You wouldn't want me to do the song, but if you know what I'm talking about, then you have lived in a hole and know nothing about Frozen. But that's not why I named it this. But what I want to talk to you about is really how to deal with being treated poorly, how to deal scripturally and biblically when you are mistreated. There is something, I tell you, our culture is not what it used to be. Does anybody know that? Has anybody ever noticed that or recognized that? There's so many things about culture. That's why I've really stayed in Texas. I mean, there was a time in ministry, I actually begged God. It was about 20 years ago, 18 years ago, I was begging God. I was like, please, I do not want to be in West Texas, Lord, send me somewhere else. And so the Lord spoke to me, and he said, no, I've called you to West Texas. And I was like, oh, great, you know. And so, but I've served West Texas with all my heart, and I love it here. I love Texas. But even when it comes to culturally, in Texas, we tend to be a little more friendlier than other areas of the country if you've been somewhere else. Has anybody ever noticed that? And there's things that, and this is not a soapbox sermon, so please understand, but I need to lay a little bit of groundwork. You know, I mean, there's just things that really drive me nuts, right? One of them is when I hold the door open for somebody and they don't even acknowledge it. I tell them, and if I'm not prayed up, I don't always do it, but I know what I'm not prayed up because I hold the door and they walk through and I'm like, you're welcome. I will. And maybe that's why the Lord laid this sermon in my heart, because a little road rage entered in. I tend to be an intense driver. And so Saturday morning, I'm just going to tell on myself. I am. I'm just going to be honest. Saturday morning, I took Shaylee to the food bank to work. And I dropped her off, and I was coming back, and there was nobody else in the road, because who's up at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning? Not normal people. There's people going to the food bank to do something, right? And so I'm leaving. I'm on Parkway, and I'm driving over the overpass from Highway 80, and that's a 6-lane road. And it's me and one other car, and he's tailgating me. I did not get much sleep that night, and so I had to turn. I was making a turn, so I was getting in the turning lane. And I feel so guilty. You're probably going to think you're going to think so evil of me. I know. And so I had a bad moment. I made a bad decision. I didn't flip the guy off for nothing. So don't think I'm going there. So I'm fixing to turn in the turning lane, and I can't even see the roof of his car. He's so close to my truck. And so before I turn in the turning lane, I stop. I'm in the left-hand lane. I stop and I put my truck in park. And I make him go around me. And then I thought, oh, I got a problem, Lord. I got to pray through. And so maybe that's why the Lord laid the sermon on my heart. I don't know. But the Permian Basin, it's a whole different animal than it was 20 years ago, isn't it, for those that have been around for a while. But, you know, we deal as believers and just culturally with mistreatment all the time. You know, if you saw my social media, I posted something earlier. And because that, you know, I was dealing with this, and I posted on there that we as believers really need to have a level of emotional maturity and spiritual maturity to be able to handle life when you've been treated bad, when you've been mistreated. And it was really kind of hard to come to this sermon even, because last week was awesome. We had a great service last week. I found out later, we had 5 people baptized in the Holy Spirit last week with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Isn't God good? And so we thank the Lord for that. And as I was thinking about today and carrying on with the theme, and she's like, you know, you should do something more about the Holy Spirit. But this is what really was on my heart. And so 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 and Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. So 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. So hopefully me sharing my road rage story just tells you I'm human just like everybody else. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it tells us, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, now scripture, you got to, let me just pause there for a second. Even acting in a manner of indifference isn't even the right response. If somebody treats you badly, the right response is not even, well, that's their issue, whatever, and go on about your life. Look what scripture tells us, that you pay them back with blessing. So let's break this down. When somebody does evil to you, what are you supposed to do? Bless them. When somebody insults you, what are you supposed to do? Bless them. That is what God has called you to do. And he'll grant you his blessing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. It says this, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. We teach this our kids all the time. This is a subject that we talk about a lot. And I opened up to them one time about a ministry trip we were on. And there was about a dozen of us, and we were going to somewhere, and we stopped at a convenience store, and the convenience store clerk was just rude. I mean, it was like over the top, we were like, you know, we're just going to give him business. And she was so, so rude. And if you don't know our family very well, we are very quick-witted. Like, we're never at, we call it roasting. You ever heard that term, roasting? That is like a family gene for us. I know it sounds terrible, right? And so we can tend to bite back really fast, and so I was holding my tongue, and I just, she was just rude, and then I get up there, and I mean, she does it to me, and I just popped off, you know, and I get in the van, and we're fixing to drive off, and I mean, boy, the Holy Spirit just, my heart, and I told the driver, I was like sitting in the front seat, I said, you don't need to hold on a second, and so I went back in the store, and I said, you know what, I said, I treated you so bad. I was like, I was so wrong in doing that. I said, you know, we're all Christians and believers, and it's apparent that you're going through something that you're hurting. And I just want to pray for you. And I want to pray to you what I did, but I also want to pray for you. And I just want the Lord to bless you. And I prayed for her. And then we got in and we left. See, it's easy to get in our flesh, and when something happens, for us to pop off, or I'll tell them, they ain't doing that to me. And that's our attitude so many times, right? Well, scripturally, there is a way we're supposed to handle those situations. And I really think you can, I know this may not be like the preachy, you know, just, you know, the heaven open up and, you know, but I really do think the Spirit of God working in our hearts, you'll have a significant life change if you'll catch on to what I want to share with you this morning. Just kind of getting in here. Number one, and there's going to be two, like number one through, you know, numbers, but just kind of here in the introduction, if we allow God to handle those who mistreat us, we will mature and have great blessing. If we allow God to handle those who mistreat us, we'll grow spiritually, we'll grow emotionally, and we'll rise above the tide, and especially if we let God handle it, and God will bless you. Number two is this, God sees your suffering and he understands your suffering. At least I need to remind us this morning that none of us had to walk in the shoes of Jesus, but he's walked in ours. None of us have been stripped down naked and beat like he was beaten and displayed upon a cross. Nobody suffered mistreatment and embarrassment like he has. And I know some of us in this room, you have gone through some very horrendous and terrible things. And what I want you to know this morning is this, is that we have a God who's not distant, who hasn't seen it, but he has walked it and he understands it. Who more you would want in your corner than a God who understands your suffering? Our problem is when we are wronged, we want somebody to make it right. Right? We want that justice. When we are mistreated, I mean, we want to prove a point. We want our opinion to be known. And so many times, when we're wronged and we want justice and something to be made right, we don't put it into somebody else's hands. We want to make it right ourselves. We want to be initiators in that. But God sees you. He understands it. And if you allow God to handle it, you'll be blessed. The third thing is this. He'll defend you and vindicate you. And I think we forget that. I mean, there is a scripture that tells us, right, that the vengeance is God's. We need to put all that into his hands. When you are treated poorly or badly or mistreated, you got to put those scenarios and situations into God's hands. There is a verse that if you, I'm going to just encourage you even right now, that you write this verse down, that you put on a piece of paper, that you put on your mirror at home, that you put on your refrigerator, that you stick it somewhere that you can remember Psalm 37:6. I think Psalm 37:6 is one of the most crucial promises that we need to get into our heart. And it tells us this: he will make your innocence radiate like the dawn. Some translations say that he'll make your righteousness shine like the noonday sun. He'll make your innocence shine like radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. And the key to this whole scripture is, who will make that happen? God will. So what does this mean? This means when you've been represented wrong, when you've been gossiped about, when you've been lied to, when you've been persecuted, when you've been made fun of, whatever, however that mistreatment might come towards you, and you feel like, you know, people are just being lied to, they don't know the truth about me. What I'm asking you to do is this: commit it into God's hands. If you commit it into God's hands, he'll make your right actions shine like the dawn. That's a powerful promise. That's a powerful promise. And sometimes, you know what? All you can do is pray. And I know, we may say that as a cliche, but you're going to go through scenarios and situations in life, and really the only thing you... Matter of fact, you're going to feel like that nobody sees the truth except for you. And those are those critical moments where you commit it to God in prayer. Don't act on your own behalf. Listen to me. Don't act on your own behalf. And when you post the generic statements on Facebook, we know you're talking about somebody. I mean, and then what happens in your comments? You know, everybody's saying, is it me? Is it me? Did I do something? And you see all these people posting on your comment, right? Did I do something to you? Did I do something to you? And you know, rarely is the case that, you know, because what happens is the person that you want to see that probably never sees it. But God sees you, and he'll fight for you, and he'll take care of you. I mean, think about how Paul was mistreated. I mean, he had plots after he, you know, converted from Saul to Paul. He had plots to kill him. I mean, he received 39, he was whipped 39 times, five different times. Think about that. You talk about mistreatment. Three times he was beat with rods. He was stoned once. He was shipwrecked three different times. One time that shipwreck was over 24 hours in the water. He faced many, many dangers, and yet he still writes, never pay back evil with evil. Think about that. Even Paul writes, never pay back evil with evil. Nobody likes conflict, but there are three types of people in life. I believe this. When it comes to these types of things, there are three types of people in life. And number one is this: one type of person are peacekeepers. And you think, well, peacekeeper surely is a good thing. I don't necessarily think so. But peacekeepers, what do peacekeepers do? Peacekeepers try to keep from attacking each other. I mean, that sounds like a good thing, a healthy thing, but let's kind of build on that. Peacekeepers try to keep tensions from rising. You know, they just kind of go around and try to keep things from boiling over emotionally or relationally. Sometimes peacekeepers pretend that nothing's wrong. They just ignore. They're like, you know, if I ignore it, then there ain't nothing wrong. peacekeepers, they try to avoid conflict at any cost, because that moment of conflict is a cauldron boiling over. That moment of conflict is those tensions are too high that they can't gain control. But rarely does just keeping the peace lead to a place of resolution or forgiveness or reconciliation. There's also offended people. Offended people are people that something has happened to them. And maybe that something was intentional, but most of the time it's unintentional. And so there's these offended people, and we're dealing with this more and more and more in our culture. Offended people, they're always the victim. They're the root of tension in most of their relationships. They're caught in a cycle of not owning their part. It's always everybody else's fault. And they thrive off of conflict. Where the peacekeeper wants to know what it all costs. I mean, usually the offended person, if there's conflict and it's bullet, I mean, they're right there in the middle of it, adding gas to the fire. But see, there's also a third type of person. A third type of person is the peacemaker. And the peacemaker is what Scripture tells us about. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, they look past the surface, the fluff of what's going on, to the root of what's going on. Peacemakers tend not to get offended because they know, they realize that hurting people hurt people. And if somebody is walking in offense, there's a root to that offense. And they don't get offended when it boils over on them. Does that make sense? They value authentic peace more than just a make-believe peace, right? The peacekeeper, all right, let's just keep everything in check. Let's just keep everything calm and calm down. But a peacemaker knows that, you know what? No, there needs to be some work, some ministry, some reconciliation that happens. And they endure conflict for the sake of lasting peace. Sometimes you've got to get to the issue and talk about the issue. This isn't part of my sermon, but I just want to remind you a couple different things. Because odds are, statistics, I'm not pointing fingers, but statistics are, there's some people in this room that are offended people. That you fit in that category of the offended. And maybe the first sign, please, you know I love you, right? So if you're thinking there right now, well, that ain't me. I mean, there's a, oh, I don't think that's me. But there's a, not me. That might be you. That might be you. But you need to understand that Scripture tells us two things. Number one is this, is that if the Bible says that if you go to the altar to present your sacrifice, if you go to worship and you're lifting your hands and you're worshiping and you remember that somebody has something against you, the Bible says you're to leave that place of worship and you're supposed to go to them and reconcile. And there's another scripture that tells us that do not hold aught against your brother. Don't hold that offense against your brother. But if it's you, the one that is offended, then you need to go to him and make it right for reconciliation. And so what's awesome about that is this, or maybe what hurts about that is this, is that there's no way out of this. That if you're there and you know somebody's got something against you, then you can't wait for them to come to you to make it right. Even though biblically they're supposed to come to you, you can't wait for that. That would be a good amen. Is this landing? You hear what I'm saying? And so, what I want you to take home is this. Number one, is if Jesus was mistreated, you'll be mistreated. I'm just here to build you up this morning, you know, and tell you everything's going to be okay. But if Jesus was mistreated, you'll be mistreated. I mean, how do we know that? Because actually the Bible tells us that in John chapter 15 and verse 20. Do you remember what I told you? This is Jesus talking. A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they'll persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. But Jesus is saying, if I'm being persecuted, what you need to know is that you're going to be persecuted. It tells us also in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11 that God blesses you. I mean, how many of you want to be blessed? If you want to be blessed, raise your hand. This is not rhetorical. Okay, so here we go. What does the scripture say? Matthew 5. God blesses you when people mock you. Are you sure you want to be blessed now? God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all kinds of evil things about you. The Bible says God will bless you. How many want somebody to talk bad about them now? I mean, if you want to be blessed, right? You're not going to go through life without somebody gossiping about you, without somebody saying evil things about you. But God says he'll bless you. How does that blessing take place? It's because you don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but you respond with blessing. Why? So that you may also inherit a blessing. I mean, think about it. People laughed at Jesus. We see a place in Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus is going and he's going to heal this girl, but she's already dead. And he tells the crowd, he's like, you know, she's already asleep. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9 that they laughed at him for his faith, his belief in knowing that that girl was going to raise from the dead, yet people laughed at him. Did you know the Bible also tells us that Jesus' own family thought he was nuts? If you read in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, you'll see this happen where his family, there's ministry taking place, and his family says about Jesus, he's out of his mind. That was his own family. Or how about in John 6, you know, everybody else, you know, if we're a teacher, we're a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader or a pastor, a preacher, you know, one thing that you kind of want, you know, I mean, let's all just get real of it, you know, is you want to be able to impact people. You want some kind of crowd to follow you. But in John chapter 6 and verse 66, we see that there was a bunch of disciples and they found what Jesus was teaching was difficult. And the Bible says, so they left him. So they left him. Number two is this, when Jesus was mistreated. So if Jesus was mistreated, you were mistreated. So how did Jesus respond? How did Jesus respond? Well, he responded when he was mistreated, he forgave. He forgave. I've used this illustration before, but it's been some time ago. I wanted to use it again this morning, but I don't know if you've ever had a bird poop on you. Has anybody had a bird poop on them? I mean, it happens to people. It does. I mean, it's just a fact of life. That has never happened to me yet. But I remember I was walking out of an office building with a guy. This was years and years ago. And I was walking out of an office building with this guy. And I mean, one did. I guess it was just that, you know, the drive-by, right? You know, or the fly-by. Landed on his shoulder, and it was apparently a big bird, because it was big, and we were in suits, and he was in a dark suit, you know, and it landed right on his shoulder. I mean that could pretty much be a day running event, you know. I mean, I kind of was, you know, when I think of an illustration like this, I kind of go through pictures sometimes, you know, Google images, and I mean, I feel sorry for some people. I'm talking like, you know, half their mouth and. I wanted to spare you. I didn't want to show those pictures. You know, there's plenty of us that we've had a lot, you know, just a lot of bad things happen to us, you know, that just really is out of our control. I mean, the other day I was in the office and I just came in. I usually get here. I usually get in the office about 6 in the morning and I, you know, made my coffee and I leaned back in my chair to drink my coffee and I'm like, yeah, you know, because you don't talk to me until after the first pot, right? And so, I mean, I was like, okay. I mean, I had it how I like it, and I went to take a drink, and the lid popped, and just, I mean, that's hot. And then it stained your shirt, and I'm like, this is the way this day is going to go. This is going to be one of those days. Well, think about this. Let's say you're walking along, and a bird poops right on your nose, and you yell at that bird. I mean, why did you do that to me, you dirty bird, you? How dare you poop on my nose? What are you thinking? Who do you think you are? You know what, bird? I want you to fly back right now and you're going to clean this off. I mean, that's a little insane, right? Bird, you did this to me. You're going to come here and you're going to clean this off and you're going to wipe this off. But you know what the bird does? The bird never comes back. You're not even a thought in the bird's mind. And the bird flies away. So you go to work the next day, but you're determined that that bird is going to clean off your nose. And so you go into work the next day with now dried white bird poop on your nose. And people are thinking, they're looking at you like, are you okay? What's that on your nose? Man, a bird pooped on my nose, and he's going to deal with it. It's his fault. He's going to deal with it. But you know, there's going to be a moment in time where that thing on your nose, don't you think at some point in time it's going to impact the way you see things? Because it's right there on your nose, and you're going to look at you're going to start noticing more and more this white blob on your nose, and so you're going to focus on that and that being there instead of noticing things around you. You're just going to focus on that. It's going to maybe probably impact the way that you smell. It's going to make vision difficult. And the whole time you're thinking to yourself, when is that bird going to come back and wipe this off? People will do something to you, maybe even dirty, and fly away like a bird. And you have to come to a place in your life where you decide to wipe it off yourself. Because if you leave it on your nose, it's not the bird's problem. It's your problem. And you are being held captive by what somebody did to you. And the way to get free from that is to forgive. Is to forgive. So now you'll always remember, you'll see bird poop a different way. So, see, just so you know, just in case no one has ever told you, bitterness, unforgiveness, offense will eventually show on your face where you can't hide it. Come to the place that you decide you've carried the wrongs done to you long enough. You were not created or built or made to be able to carry that weight. And if you want to be free, then forgive. I said, if you want to be free, then forgive. You don't want to carry that bitterness on your face the rest of your life. It's going to ruin God's vision for you. And you won't be able to see people or the things of God clearly. You can forgive people before they ask for forgiveness, and it'll set you free from the bitterness. What was Christ's example? He's on the cross, Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. As believers, that's our choice. Number three is this: bless those who have made your life miserable. Bless those who have made your life miserable. Your enemies, the Bible tells in Proverbs 25, your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. You'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. How many believe the Bible's true? You believe in the promises of God? Now think about this. If you want them, now listen to me, take this with a grain of salt, okay? But if you want them to feel the burn, then be nice to them. If you want them to feel the burn, then be nice and bless them and let God take care of it. God will take care of the wrongdoing and he'll take care of you. And now I understand you got to take this within reason, right? I mean, you got to be protective in your relationships. I'm not telling you to stay in abusive relationships or anything like that. But when you are mistreated and you are done wrong, instead of retaliating with evil, retaliating with the truth of the matter, allow God to take care of it and bless them. Because, you know, there's another proverb that tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath. I don't know how many times I've been, in situations where people, came at me armed and ready. And me thinking they're completely wrong and I'm right. And I don't mean that in an egotistical way or anything, but still, just as they approach me to say, I'm sorry, or just whatever it is, but just be calm and responsible with my words. Just time after time, you see people just, their anger diffuse and just, type of situations. Don't punch lights out. We reach out. Don't stop in the left lane and put your truck in park, but just wave them on by. The fourth thing is this: when you try to prove your innocence, you put yourself at the mercy of the accuser. This is important right here. When you try to prove your innocence, you put yourself at the mercy of the accuser. In Matthew 25:25, it tells us that, and I know it's talking about court, but I think it applies here. When you're on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. But if you are keeping with what I'm sharing with you, that you return evil for evil, yeah, sometimes you may not owe what you're about to give, but if you'll give, God will take care of it. If your accuser, if you want to take them, there was a situation one time. I was in a place of contention with another minister, and it was a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. But it was a very teaching moment for me, and I went to some leaders that were involved, and I was like, man, this is wrong. We need to have a meeting. This needs to be dealt with. I was at the place of even ready to file charges where it would go against his credentials. It was a terrible situation. I was hurt. I was upset. And one of my leaders, he came to me and said, listen, he's like, you know what? You have every right to do this and pursue this. He's like, you have the truth on your side. We know that and see that. He's like, but if you pursue this, there's going to be damage that comes back on you, and you need to be ready to endure that hurt that comes your way. And the Lord really took that moment and dealt with my heart. And I was like, you know what? Just let it go. Just forgive and just let it go. It's not worth it, because when you try to prove your innocence, you put yourself at the mercy of those doing wrong to you. By rising up, trying to defend yourself, I put this in your notes, by rising up and trying to defend yourself, you forfeit the spiritual right for protection. See, we have a rule in our house that the kids are going at it, right? And because we believe so much in this principle. And so, something may be happening with Chase, and he feels wronged by Shaylee. And maybe she really did do something wrong, but he lashes out at her and wants to pay her back for what she did. When they do that, they get mad at us. They go, why didn't you step in? It's like, because you defended yourself. Once you defend yourself, there's nothing that we can do. And we've taught them this principle over and 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 over. But we tell it to them just consistently. If you would allow us to take care of it, we could have dealt with it correctly. But since you stood up and responded wrongly, you're gonna have to reap of that situation now. Number five is this. Is this helping anybody? Hopefully you're not bored. Number five is this. This is the last thing. If you get infected with that unforgiveness, with that bitterness, with those things, if you've been done wrong and you don't process it correctly, if you get infected, you'll infect others. If you get infected, you'll infect others. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Look at this. Watch out that no poisonous root of what? Everybody say bitterness. that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. If you are a person that is prone to offense and that unforgiveness and that bitterness and that bondage in your life, you are not going to get through life without putting that seed and that root in those close to you. I don't know about you, but I would much rather my kids grow up to have a healthy view of people and life and culture and the church and things. But when we start spewing our junk in front of them, when we start degrading or talking bad about people and things, we may not think they're listening. We may not think they care, but there is a root being planted. You know, growing up, of course, I've been very open about very open about, even though I grew up in church, I didn't live for the Lord and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I grew up in a church that had a lot of problems in it. A lot of problems. I never knew. I didn't know. I didn't know that our church ever had problems. We went through, you know, I mean, I know growing up I had 3 or 4 different pastors and never knew there was church problems or church issues or anything like that until I was an adult. And then, I mean, we're in this family conversation on Thanksgiving. I'll never forget it. And all of a sudden, my family's like talking about all this different stuff. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what? When did that happen? Oh, yeah, that happened back, you know, 1980, whatever, and this, you know, blah, 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 and they're talking about all these different things, and I mean, it just blew me out of the water, and I remember my mom wasn't there, and I called mom, and I was like, I didn't know. She goes, of course you didn't know. Why would I tell you? I believe something about gossip. Gossip has to be dealt with between the people that can do something about it. That's a good nugget to take home. If you cannot make peace in that situation, then it doesn't involve you. Are you following me? Does that make sense? Does that land? If it does not involve you, there's not a thing that you can do about it. Something else me and Angela, we teach our kids all the time is you can't take somebody else's offense. And matter of fact, if somebody treats me poorly, I gotta be very careful what even I tell my own wife because it's not her weight to carry, it's mine. I'm just trying to give you some principles to live by, church. When I'm going through something and I dump it all on her, I'm like, you know what so-and-so did? You know what they said? You know this situation? And I put that on her, that root will begin to grow in her heart. And what I see happen all the time, is especially with families and couples and in churches, is that whatever the tension is between me and somebody, we'll make it right. But she'll still have that root in her because she wants to protect her husband. Or vice versa. Does that make sense? You can't carry somebody else's offense. You got to deal with it on your own. And so you're going to be very careful of what you spread for those around you. But I want to give you the, matter of fact, I want you to stand and we're going to pray. But I want to give you a real world principle right here. I think and I'm not preaching this because I think there's issues in our church. By all means, no. I'm preaching this because I was a jerk after I dropped Shaylee off at the food bank. But I want you to catch hold of this when talking this through with my mom. My mom is a great godly woman. I'm so grateful for her influence. And now, you know, years later, we're seeing more of my family members come to the Lord. But there was a time where none of my cousins that grew up in church served God. None of them. And we were a very tight family. When us growing up in the city we grew up in, I mean, my dad has 8 other brothers and sisters. And we all grew up on the same city block. And they had a lot of cousins. And we ran around together. And we all grew up in church together. And when I came to the Lord, I was the only one of my cousins for about 15 years that was serving God. And my mom told me something. She goes, I want to give you a principle. She goes, we never talk bad about church people or the pastor in front of you. She said, but your aunts and uncles were very vocal about everything going on. She goes, do you think it's coincidence they're out of church and you're in church? I want that to land, because that is such an important principle. Your kids hear you. And then other people, if you're carrying that, they see it on your face. And I think it's time to be free.